Okay, good evening, everyone. And hargasha to speak tonight about the Indian of Chesed. I've been very, very moved this past week, the past couple weeks, by a number of the chevra in the shul, and I imagine many other shuls are experiencing similar types of chasadim. Now, so many people are quarantined, many people are stuck inside, and every day there's another email that goes out to the Chesed committee, the whole long list of things to go shopping for. And there are two, three individuals from the Kehila who are jumping on the opportunities to go to the gourmet lot and go shopping to buy 80, 90, 100 things for these people. And I'm just moved by what people are willing to do despite the fact that we're so distant from each other, but the way we're building the love and the connections we're building with this distance is inspiring to me. So I want to speak about the Indian of Chesed, the Indian of Chesed as it relates to Pesach, as it relates to the upcoming Svi HaSomer, leading to Kabbal Satorah. So one of the four sons say tonight to the Rasha. The Rasha is punished. He's reprimanded because he's hotias atma v'naklal. He's kafir be'ikir. He's unwilling to be part of the tzibor. He's unwilling to be part of the klal, and therefore his teeth are knocked out. Pesach is a time of halach ma'anya where we invite all the guests inside. And although physically that won't be the case this year, but very much spiritually, there are people going to other people's houses. There are people who are going shopping for other people. I imagine every father and mother who are home are busy with their children, busy with their business, busy worrying about whatever they're worrying about, and yet they have time to take 30, 40 minutes to go out shopping for someone else who they may not even know. So Pesach, the night of Chesed, the night of Chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quickly turns into Svi HaSomer. We begin counting the 49 days to Kabbal Sator. And Svi, as we know, is a time period where Chazal teach us we have to be very, very careful on Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, the way we treat others, because the 12,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva did not treat each other nicely. The 12,000 Talmidim died Shelo Nahogu Kavod Zebazeh. They didn't show proper respect to one another. So it's a very strange thing that the Talmidim of the great Rabbi Kiva were not shown proper kavod, yet Rabbi Kiva himself stood for v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Rabbi Kiva was the epitome of what it meant to love another Jew, and yet his 12,000 Talmidim were not able to follow in the same footsteps. Where did they go wrong? Why weren't they able to follow in the footsteps of the great tzaddik Rabbi Kiva? So there's an incredible Shema Shmuel, and the Shema Shmuel says that there's a very important fundamental difference between Ahava, love, versus Kavod, honor, respect. You see, we each love ourselves. We're looking at ourselves on camera. It's strange for me to look at myself talking in the camera, but we all love ourselves because we are who we are. We love what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to us. He created us, gave us certain kochos, certain strengths, and certain weaknesses. But we love ourselves, and we love our parents, we love our spouse, we love our children, we love our siblings. We love everybody who's just like us. We love everyone who davens in the same shul, in the same kehila, who go to the same yeshiva. We love everyone who's just like who I am. But respect, says the Shema Shmuel, kavod is respecting someone who's different than you. Someone who doesn't daven in your shul. Someone who doesn't dress like you dress. Someone who has different minhagim than you have. You see, they learned the midah of Ava. They knew how to love whoever was like them. But there was no midah of kavod. They didn't know how to show respect to somebody who was different. The Democrats versus the Republicans. You know, it's very, very hard being a Yankee fan in having any respect for a Met fan. I see some Met fans in the audience here. It's very hard to respect a Met fan. But in the end of the day, we have to respect the Met fans. We have to respect people who are different than we are. So that's what the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva didn't get. They didn't understand how to respect someone different. The Mishnah Avos tells us that there's a machlokes l'shem shemayim. And what's an example of a machlokes l'shem shemayim? That's a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Hillel and Shammai. That's a machlokes l'shem shemayim. But Korach v'Adaso is an example of a machlokes shelo l'shem shemayim. Ask the Mefarshim, it should say Korach v'Moshe Rabbeinu. They were the ones arguing. Shammai and Hillel were arguing. And Korach and Moshe were arguing. Why doesn't it say Korach v'Adaso v'Moshe? Why is Moshe left out of the picture here? Why is he left out of the equation? So I'll share with you an incredible pshat by Rav Yonason Eibeshitz. It's a well-known pshat. As an aside, for those who don't know, Rav Yonason Eibeshitz, who's an incredible Eloi. Brilliant. Brilliant Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik. So I'll share a very enjoyable story about his godless, his wisdom, how sharp Rav Yonason Eibeshitz actually was. So the story goes that he was very, very close with the emperor in the country that he lived. And the two of them would often go for walks together in the garden of the palace and talk about anything under the sun, the wisdom of the Torah, of philosophy, of science, of mathematics, everything. At one time, Rav Yonason Eibeshitz and the emperor were walking in the garden, and the emperor stops and looks over to Rav Yonason Eibeshitz and asks him, "Wait a second, I have a question for you. Are the Jews allowed to give a bracha to a non-Jew? Could you give a bracha to a goy?" And Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz responded, "Yes, you can." Now, he didn't explain the whole sugya, but given the circumstances and Darchei Shalom and Shalom Malachus, yeah, I could give a bracha to you. I could give a bracha to a non-Jew. So the emperor points to a statue in his garden, a statue of a big statue of Yashka. And the emperor says, "Could you give him a bracha?" So without the blink of an eye, Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz says, "You need to know the individual's father's name in order to give a bracha." And with that, he didn't have to give a bracha to Yashka, the statue. So Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, in his brilliant wisdom, his understanding, he said, "You know why the Mishnah doesn't mention Moshe? It says Shammai v'Hillel. It's a machlokes l'shem shemayim. Korach v'Adaso, it doesn't say Moshe. Why not? Because a machlokes l'shem shemayim is when you respect the other person. When the Republicans respect the Democrats, and the Democrats respect the Republicans, and the Met fans respect the Yankee fans, and the Yankee fans respect the Met fans. Shammai and Hillel, although they argued, they respected each other. They respected the other opinion. But Korach v'Adaso did not respect Moshe Rabbeinu. It therefore doesn't say Korach v'Adaso v'Moshe because they didn't acknowledge Moshe. He was nothing in their eyes. And that's the definition of a machlokes l'shem shemayim. It's okay to argue. It's normal to argue. You're supposed to argue. There's supposed to be passion, love, energy, fight in Torah, fight in whatever it is, but respect each other. Show kavod. That's what Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim didn't have. They didn't have the Shelo Nagu Kavod Zebezeh. They didn't respect each other. Now, part of respecting isn't only being nice to an individual and having midos to the individual. Showing Kavod means to show honor. It doesn't mean to be nice. It's to show honor, show chashivas, acknowledge, recognize, value another person's kochos and strengths. You know, I guess people are really home. They are home. I don't guess. People are home for the past few weeks stuck inside. And I've never gotten so many thank you messages from people. I don't know if people are listening more or people just have more time. They want to keep themselves busy. And it's so nice that people are reaching out and saying thank you for the shiurim, thank you for this and thank you for that. And I said, you know what? If I could appreciate thank you, and somebody acknowledging what I'm doing, I bet there are many other people out there who could use a nice thank you, a nice pat on the back. So there's a guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but an individual who's very instrumental in the community. And he does so much work. Everyone here has some direct benefit from this individual. And I said, you know what? I wonder if anyone ever says thank you to him. I wonder. And it's been on my mind because all the chesed I've been seeing. So I reached out to Erev Shabbos just to send a message. I just want to thank you for all the work you're doing. And we really, really appreciate it. As Rabbanim, we appreciate it. As a Kehillah, we appreciate it. And he wrote back, I really, really appreciate that message. That's really, really meaningful to me. And he really took it to heart. You don't know how far a little thank you could be. Now, there's a guy, now they have Zoom, you could see who's watching. But like last week in the shul, we were still doing phone calls. And we still are doing phone calls for like the Daf Yomi. So I have no idea who else is listening. It could be I'm talking to myself. So every single day after the shiur, there's one guy who says, thank you so much. So I know at least one guy's listening to the phone. But a thank you could go so far. You give kavod to a person. And not just about being nice. It's acknowledging, respecting, valuing what another person does. I saw a nice idea that Rabbi Eliyahu Roth once asked the question of how Moshe Rabbeinu was it possible that he could be Anov Miod Mekol Adam, he was the greatest, most humble person in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the only person to speak face to face to Kadosh Baruch Hu, panim upon him. Come on, Moshe Rabbeinu, you knew that you were the greatest person in the world. How could you be the greatest person and yet the most humble person in the world? Doesn't make any sense. And so, Rav Roth Zetzal explained that Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days and 40 nights up in Shemayim. And when he was in Shemayim, he saw the godless, the chashivas of every single yid in this world. And is able to give the proper kavod. That each person has something that I don't have. Each person has something that I can acknowledge, I can value, I can respect. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see that. You and I, maybe we can't see that so much, but we have to trust that every single person on the other side of that screen, the other side of that table, has something special that we must respect and we must value. There's a maisa, Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky was once walking. And he saw that a Talmud was leaning on another Talmud. He was resting on the shoulder of another Talmud. Sounds like a very nice thing. Lean on my shoulder. So he shared with him that once the Chazam Sofer saw that there was an individual lying on his son, Reb Shimon Sofer's shoulder. And the Chazam Sofer said, stop. I don't want you to lean on his shoulder, not because he's my son, but because he's a yid. He's a bichin of kedusha to him. It's an isra me'ila to get hana from another yid who's full of kedusha. Every single yid has kedusha. Every single yid deserves respect and kavod, even when they're different. Perhaps even more so when they're different and when they argue and take a different stance than you. A Yankee, I see the Met fan hats, Shkoyach, for bringing it to life a little bit. It's the idea of respecting one another. The whole idea of this whole virus, that people who are young or people who already had the virus and perhaps immune, though we don't know for sure, would still go out and potentially, even though they're fine and their symptoms are mild, they could potentially go out and harm someone else. That's a basic chisaron in Derech Eretz. The basic chisaron of causing danger to someone else. This is a time period of chesed, of respect for one another. The one person told me, no, it's very strange. If you're not used to receiving chesed, being on the receiving end, it's very hard to send out, you know, a messenger to go buy a list of 100 items from Gourmet Glad. It's very hard to take chesed. When people are used to it, so they became used to it. But when you're a giver, it's very, very hard to start taking. And one person expressed this to me. He had a very hard time willing to let someone go shopping for him. He'd rather just finish all the food in his cabinet, and when he's really stuck, then he'll go for it. So there's an incredible maisa that perhaps we could learn a lesson from what it's like to receive something. What's like to accept a chesed. The great tzaddik, the Mori Naim, spent his life dedicated to helping those people who were wrongfully thrown into jail. And he raised money to ransom and pay the ransom to get them out of jail. And time after time he did this in saving so many Yidden from being in jail. And one time the Mori Naim himself was taken by the authorities and thrown into jail, of course, unlawfully. Wrongfully thrown into jail. And the Mori Naim couldn't figure out why. How is it possible that someone like himself dedicated his whole entire life to saving such Jews from jail? The schar? His reward? The payback is to be thrown into jail? That's what he gets for doing this? He didn't understand why this was. And so while he was in jail, he had a very dedicated Talmud Chassid who would come visit him every single day. They talked, they'd schmooze. And one day, when the Talmud came to visit, the Mori Naim says, Today I'm going to get freed. Today's my day out. The Chassid was very excited to hear, but he wanted to know, how do you know? How do you know that today you're going to be freed? Did you hear the warden talking? Did you hear the officers talking? Who told you that you're going to be free today? And so the Mori Naim says, you know what? I had a guest. I had a special guest visit me. She visited me in the jail cell. So the chassid was shocked that anyone was allowed inside the jail cell. Who was the guest? And the Mori Naim said it was none other than Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu, she came to visit me. She came to visit me in the jail cell. And not only did she visit me, but she shared with me an incredible Dvar Torah, no less. So Nuhu was a Dvar Torah. He asked the Rebbe, what'd she share with you? So she said, you know, when Avram Avinu was leaving, he was told, Lech lecha mi'artzecha, mi'moladecha, go leave your land. So Zakt Rashi there, La'naschas, it's for your benefit. Go for your benefit, it's going to be for your hana. So asks Rachel Imenu, what was the hana? What was so great? What was he going to gain by going Lechcha Mi'artzcha, to go leave in Golos? Golos isn't great. We're all in Golos now. What's so great about being in Golos? So we're like a backwards Golos. We're all stuck in our homes. We've been exiled to our homes. What's so great about Golos, she asked. So she explained that you see, Avraham Avinu dedicated his life to be mevaker cholim, to be machnis orchim, to take care of those who are in need. But something he lacked. Avraham Avinu was never a guest on his own. Avraham Avinu never knew what it was like to be a guest. And he's going, Lecha mi'artzcha, go to exile. I want you to go to a place where you're going to be a guest. I want you to go and feel like what it's like to be a guest, to not have a house, not have a home, not have friends and family. Not sure what the next day will bring. And that's going to be La'naschcha. You know why? Because when you get on the receiving end, you can now go back around and be a better giver. When a person knows what it's like to be in jail, says the Mori Naim, now I understand what it's like to be here. I could feel the pain, and now I could go back on the outside and help those Jews even better. I know their emotional difficulties. I know their mental struggles. I know the struggles beruchnius. Now I can really appreciate it. That was the Dvar Torah. That was the Vort she shared with me. It happens to be that the Mori Naim shares the same yahrzeit as Rachel Imenu. It's never fun being on the receiving end of chesed. But when one is, and you see the sensitivities that people do for you, it blows your mind. And now you say, you know what? I could do the same thing when I'm out of this house, and I'm free to walk around, I could do chesed because I know what it's like to receive chesed. I know the right things to say. I know the wrong things to say. I know the right things to do. I know the wrong things to do. But I could be a greater Baal Chesed now that I know what it's like to receive it. I could give it even better. My children shared with me this past Shabbos from one of the children magazines, perhaps it was Mishpacha, the Sukkah, I don't remember which one. But there's a very, very nice article from Akiva Axarad, the son of Rabbi Axarad in New Rochelle, the assistant rabbi in New Rochelle, who had been in quarantine, one of the first people. And an inspiring interview it was. And one of the things he had said was, while they were stuck inside through Purim, people from outside their neighborhood, I don't know who, came to drop off Shalach Manos to their house. Because these few tzaddikim knew that they weren't going to get any Shalach Manos, anyone in New Rochelle, because all their friends in New Rochelle were all stuck. They can't give to each other. So a few people, I don't know how many, I don't know from where, but they thought out of the box with creativity, with sensitivity, and they dropped off packages. They dropped off Shalach Manos to these homes in New Rochelle. That's what it's like to be in Chesed. So everyone who's in quarantine knows that sensitivity, the creativity, what it's like to receive. And we should all be zocha to go outside and give those who need. With that same level of sensitivity, creativity, ava, love, care. So back to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't understand kavod zebezeh. They didn't understand respect for one another. They understood ava, they understood love, but they didn't understand respect to those who are different. So let me ask you a question. What about Rabbi Akiva himself? Did all he know was v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? He only knew how to love someone else who was like him, but he lacked respect for someone who was different? Difficult to say that. So how did Rabbi Akiva know to respect others? Why didn't he teach that to his Talmidim? And so I think the answer is that real kavod, real respect, leads to real ava. That we're not really different. We're really all the same. No matter how different we look and how different we act, we're all the same. The essence of every single yid is this ava, this love of the achdus. Kavod is the step one. Someone's different, show respect. Acknowledge them, value them. The step above that is to love them. V'yavta l'recha kamocha, because we are all the same, no matter where we daven, no matter what nusach we daven in, no matter what minhagim we have, no matter where we live, no matter what psak we have from our rabbi, we are all the same. We're not different. And that's the higher level. That's v'yavta l'recha kamocha. So I'll finish with this maisa. There was I don't remember the exact details of the names, but I believe it was a new chaplain, a police chaplain in Yerushalayim. He started his new position, wanted to visit the chief of the police department in Yerushalayim. So the chaplain went to the office of the chief to meet him, and he wasn't religious, the chief. And the rabbi, the chaplain, noticed a very interesting painting on the wall, or picture on the wall of a family, a religious, a Haredi family, in the office of the chief of the police department. And his curiosity got to him, and he asked the chief of the police, could you please tell me who that family is? Why do you have a family picture of the Haredim? You clearly aren't religious. So the chief of the police explained the following story. When I started off as a cadet many years ago, so it was a very long week. It was one of those hot summer weeks in Eretz Yisrael. And I was burnt out. And I was excited to go home for my weekend, my Saturday weekend. I was going home Friday, and then I got a message from my chief at the time that we all have to report Saturday morning, Shabbos morning, because the Haredim, the hooligans, are starting a petition, a Shabbos petition again, and everyone must report Shabbos morning. And the chief explained I was devastated because I was exhausted. I needed my sleep. So Shabbos morning for him, Saturday morning, he wakes up early and he was so upset he couldn't sleep late that day. He gets dressed, he puts on his belt and his gun and his baton, and he says, whichever Haredi starts with me will regret it, because I've got no patience for them now. My weekend's ruined. So he shows up to the big petition, the big strike, and there was a little line. It was understood that no one should cross a line. The police had all their gear on, standing strong, and the Haredim were screaming and pushing and screaming and pushing. And at a certain point, he's dripping sweat. And he's thinking in his mind, whichever Haredi walks over the line will really regret, I'm going to take this baton and hit them so hard, he's thinking. And there's a Haredi lady who's approaching the line. And the Hasidim and the Haredim are seeing her and they're cheering on, go lady, go, 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 go over, don't let them stop you. And I see her walking to me and I say, Giveret, Giveret, stop walking now. Don't come any closer, I don't want to hurt you. And she's walking and she's walking. And he says, Giveret, I warned you. He starts taking out his baton and she comes walking closer. And he lifts his arm, his hand with the baton. And she says in a soft voice, excuse me, sir, you must be so hot and exhausted. Here's a bottle of water. And she extended a bottle of water to this young cadet. And he wasn't sure if he should cry or if he should laugh. And he was just in utter shock. And he came home that day to his family, to his young daughter, and says to her, I know every single day you want to play with the other families in the neighborhood, the religious families. If they could produce a woman like that, what happened to me today, you could go play with these families. And one thing led to a next. One thing led to the next, and my daughter wanted to go to school with these girls, and she enrolled in school, and that on the wall is a picture of my daughter and her family, her religious family. No matter how different we are, no matter how different we act, how different we look, this is a time period that we have to work on the chesed, the bein adam lechavero, the kavod, respect for one another, the ava for one another, and we should be zocha through the v'aftel recha kamocha, we should be zocha to the gula shleima ba'amitas, b'mheir av yameinu, amen v'yameinu.